Okay. That's what I asked you. Were you guys at all prepared when you left for Iraq for any type of combat? Did they give you any special training or anything like that?
The training that we received before we went to Iraq was about a month and a half to 2 months of training. Basically, not any specific desert warfare or what would they call it? Type of warfare that's in the city. We were trained in the woods, doing cowboy runs and how to deal with ambushes on a cowboy run. About 3 days worth of training, actual training of doing that. You know, everybody got a chance to drive in a cowboy and have a simulated hit. And that's basically all it was. You know, you can't really compare training in the woods to a war in the desert.
So you don't think you were prepared when you got there for the stuff you saw then?
No, especially me. Now, the other guys that were there, they possibly could have been somewhat prepared. There've been a couple of them have been deployed to other places, other regions. But with me, I was out of the National Guard for approximately 10 years, reenlisted in December 2002. February 2003, we were being deployed to Iraq. And, you know, I was out of the military for a good 10 years then. And then, as soon as I reenlisted, we went to Iraq. And I don't think I was ready for it, mentally, physically, or any other way. Simply because I couldn't even prepare my family, my wife, my kids, to let them know that, you know, I'm going to be gone now. And I'm going to be in a hostile war zone. Every day is going to be a life and death struggle. They didn't understand that. And even to this day, my ex-wife doesn't really get it. You know, because she wasn't briefed enough. I wasn't given enough time to really explain exactly what was happening. But, you know, I didn't complain. I just, you know, I figured, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to serve my country. I want to serve my country. I'm patriotic. I want to be a good soldier. I did my job. I got a very good statement from my first line squad leader. They stated I was one of his best soldiers. And I was a civilian truck driver, so I got in there and I saw a lot of these guys that only drove for the National Guard, which is like once a year, how to get in there and maneuver their truck. You know, I really enjoyed helping these guys and showing them how to work their vehicles and make them work in their behalf.
Now, when you got over there, and you know, you started seeing civilian casualties. How do you think that affected you on a long-term basis?
Well, I'll tell you a little story about when we went into Iraq. When we first went into Iraq, we were about 300 miles into Iraq, and we decided to pull over. Cowboy commander decided to pull over and just get a little bit of stretching legs, and you know, trying to get our bearings about us. And a group of kids come running to us. And this is the, you know, I say it's the damnedest thing. Little boy stood up. He couldn't bend no more, waist tied to me. And the toy that he was playing with was a Captain America action figure. I would say out of the 70s. And the little Captain America had the little shield and everything, you know. You could tell it was old because the paint and stuff was coming off it and stuff. But here the Iraqi kids are playing with a Captain America now. I mean, if you know anything about the comic or the cartoon, Captain America was the representation of America.
Yeah.
The United States. He was the patriotic hero of the United States. And here is our enemy. Their kids are playing with Captain America. When we initially went in, everybody on the wreck had their thumbs up, hollering, USA, USA, George Bush good, Saddam bad. You know, by the time we got loaded and were running missions out of Iraq back into Kuwait, the same people that were praising us, praising the United States, were hating us. They were doing everything they could, you know. I knew what was going on. I could see the man's eyes and knew what he was thinking. You know, and what he's thinking is, my children are starving. We have no clean water to drink. And our lives, even though our lives weren't that good under Saddam, our lives now are just totally bare. We can't even feed our children. So your enemy was not only the insurgents or the Iraqi military, but you had the civilians that would praise you, get desperate to the point where they had to try to attack you just to gain food and water. So you had desperate Iraqis that were doing what they could to take food and water from you. Then you had the insurgents that were coming in, and just because you're an American, you got a target on your head, they want to kill you. Then you got the loyalist in Saddam that's fighting you. Everybody's got their own agenda, and you're fighting these people as if they're the same thing. And that's where the war, as they call it, has went backwards and screwed up. It's because when we first went in, the 2 months that I was actively over there, I sat there and watched a lot of desperate Iraqis that had no food and water, begging and pleading. You know what it's like to see a child the same size as your own child at home on the side of a highway that's 140 degrees outside, barefooted, getting down on his hands and knees and begging and giving the sign with his hand that he wanted some water, and you couldn't even give him a drink of water.
That had to be terrible and nightmare.
You know, I look at these children, and I'm thinking to myself, my children couldn't survive in this. My children would not be able to walk on this pavement barefooted like these kids are doing. I wouldn't be able to do it. You know, but they were out there doing it, begging, pleading for food and water.
How many times did you see that happen over there?
Oh, the children?
Yeah.
Oh, it was every day. If you was on a mission, you saw it. You know? If you was on a mission, you saw it. It was there. You know?
Did you see a lot of dead children around when you were in Iraq or know about it?
I've seen quite a few, I don't know what you'd want to call it, there really wasn't enough there to call it a corpse. You know, I've seen where Iraqis were burned to death on the side of the highway. The only way you could tell that they were people is because you could make out, sometimes you could make out the side of a jawbone or the framework of the bones in a hand or a foot. And that's how you could tell that they were actually people there at one time. But other than that, they looked like one big blank burnt spot on the ground. No, it looked like somebody just torched themselves on fire. But I've seen a lot of crazy stuff over there, a lot of stuff that haunts you, you know, in your dreams, haunts you just driving down the road, you know. It's hard just to drive down the highway or drive through town. You know, you see a traffic accident, in your mind, it's a hit. It's, you know, somebody just got ambushed and killed, you know. You just see people on the side of the road.